Welcome to the Daily International OU Tehillim and Physics Phone Call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Rishon, the fifth day of the month of Av. I hope you all had a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Today daily email. If you'd like to sponsor future calls, we are grateful and very much appreciate the support. Please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. The deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Zev Reichman, Mora D'Asara of the East Hill Synagogue in Englewood, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Reichman slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf, Chaf Zayin, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 27, and 130, which will be followed by the Mishnah Berach L'Cholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Reichman to learn more about his community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Reichman.
We are about to experience the day of Tisha. The ninth of Av is a time of terrible Jewish tragedy. The Gemara in Maseches Tanis tells us about some of the terrible tragedies that occurred on the ninth of Av. We lost the first Beis HaMikdash, the first temple, in the year 586 BCE. We lost the second Beit HaMikdash, the second temple, in the year 70 of the Common Era. The spies came back with their negative report about the land of Israel when we were in the desert, and the nation mourned and believed their horrible words. And even in more recent times, World War I began on the 9th of Av. And yet we have a very strange law. We do not say the added supplicatory prayers of Tachanun on the 9th of Av, because the 9th of Av in the Code of Jewish Law is defined as a moed, a holiday. This seems so strange. It's true that in the Book of Lamentations in Eicha, Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu said, "Kara alai moed lishbor bachurai," God declared or set time to smash my young men. But that seems to be tragic. That seems to be sad. There was a time set that on this day, tragedies, unfortunately, keep hitting us. Why would this set time nature of the ninth of Av be a reason not to say tachanun, not to say added supplicatory prayers, a day where somehow there is joy, happiness, when we think of so much Jewish tragedy and mourning? So one answer that's traditionally offered is based on a verse that we had in this last week's Torah portion, where our teacher Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, "Gambi hit anef Hashem biglalchem," God also was upset with me because of you for your sake, and denied me the right to enter into the land of Israel. The Holy Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that had Moshe entered the land of Israel and Moshe succeeded in building the temple would never have been able to be destroyed. And then were Jews to be sinful, the Jewish nation would have been wiped out. And so Moshe says, for your sake, for the sake of the eternity of the Jewish people, the Almighty did not allow me to enter Israel. That way the temple was ultimately built by Dovid and Shlomo, by King David and King Solomon. It wasn't a building with the same qualities that it would were to have had were Moshe Rabbeinu to have built it. And therefore, for your sake, for your benefit, I didn't enter the land of Israel. And in that sense, the loss of the temple, as sad and as devastating as it is also a testament to the fact that the temple would be lost, but the nation would be preserved. And that unflinching, undying love that the Almighty has for us, that no matter what, the nation will be preserved, that gives the day of Tisha B'Av a quality of moed, of a holiday, a day of a certain degree of joy. Another idea is offered by the Holy Bnei Yisaschar, Pershani Melech of Dinov, who explains that in Halacha we are taught, Chayev Adam Lifkodes Ishto Samach Shiyotze Laderech. A husband is obligated to express love to his spouse before he leaves on a trip. And the reason for that is that before a spouse leaves on a trip, there's a sense of longing, of missing. Oh, I'm going to miss my partner, and therefore the partners are obligated to show affection to each other. The same is true on the ninth of Av. The Almighty set us out on a long trip, out of the land of Israel, 2,000 years of exile. His divine presence wasn't manifest and seen anymore in the Holy Land. And so right before there was that trip, the Almighty actually showed great degrees of love. The Talmud tells us in Tractate Yoma that when the Romans broke into the Holiest of Holies, or when the Babylonians broke into the Holiest of Holies, and they found the ark with the cherubs atop of it, even though normally the cherubs would turn away from each other as a sign of divine displeasure when the Jews are not being so righteous, the cherubs were actually turned towards each other, and in the most intimate of poses, embracing. And the idea is that at the moment of the destruction, there's actually a great feeling hidden, great feeling, though, of love, of longing, of attachment. And so that's why the ninth of Av becomes a day of no tachanun. The Mashiach will be born on the ninth of Av, because on the ninth of Av, there's the longing that God has for us. He's about to take leave. We're about to take leave. And there's an added affection right before that separation. But I think there's a third answer in terms of why the ninth of Av is a day of a moed, a day of a holiday. There's a famous story, an apocryphal tale, that Napoleon Bonaparte once came upon a Jewish shul on the ninth of Av. And he sees these Jews sitting on the floor with candles next to their books of lamentation and kinos and eulogies and mourning. And they're crying. And he asked the people of the congregation, did something just happen? Did you lose a war? Did many members recently die that everybody's crying and despondent? And they said, no, we're crying because of the loss of the temple, of the first temple, of the second temple. We're crying about events that occurred 2,000 years before. And Napoleon was shocked. He said, how could a people feel the loss that had happened so many years ago, feel it so viscerally, to cry about it right now? And Napoleon said, that must mean that this is a nation that's an eternal nation. Eternity means that one is not limited by time. That means that the past is not very far away. The past is still present. And if the past is still present, that the present can rise above its limitations and feel the past as if it's happening right now, that also means that the future is present. And if the future is present, because this is a nation above time, this is a nation of remarkable optimism and hope, a nation that in the moments of the greatest darkness already feels the salvation that will come after that darkness, this is a nation that is assured of a third temple and of ultimate redemption. And so yes, kara alai mo'ed b'shvor bachurai, this is a holiday in which we feel the pain of the loss so acutely, and it's as if it happened right now. And for a nation to feel the past in its present means that this is a nation that rises above time. It'll also feel the future currently, and that means that the future can be felt right now. That means that redemption can be felt right now. The times of Mashiach and the third Beit HaMikdash and world peace and the Jewish nation spreading the light of God to the world can be felt right now. And therefore, Tisha B'Av, in fact, is a mo'ed, it is a holiday. My father's teacher, Rav Soloveitchik, used to say that there is a line amongst Jewish philosophers, Ha'avar ayin, the past is gone, Ha'atid adayin, the future is yet to be, Ha'ahove keheref ayin, and the fleeting, and the present is fleeting, Da'agal minayin, why should we worry? And Rav Soloveitchik said he disagreed with that line. He would say, Ha'avar adayin, the past is still here. Ha'atid kan, the future is here. Ha'ahove la'olam, and the present is forever. And since the past is here, teaching us its lessons, and the future is here, giving us its inspiration, and the present is here with the ability to fill it with lasting meaningfulness, the meaningfulness which is eternal, therefore we can overcome worries, and we can already feel the joy of that future. So during these times, may we all feel the acuteness of the past and the acuteness of the future, and realize that every action we do is eternal. Every mitzvah we do, every act of kindness that we do is eternal. Every prayer is eternal. And that eternity is what assures us we will overcome these times of difficulty as we've overcome times of difficulty throughout our glorious, eternal Jewish history. I'll now lead the recital of three chapters of Tehillim, three chapters of Psalms. I'll begin with chapter 20. Lamenatzeach mizmor le David Ya'ancha Adonai b'yom tzara yisagevcha Shem Elohei Yaakov Yishlach Ezrecha mikodesh u'mitzion yisadeka Yizkor kol min chosecha v'olascha yidashne sela Yitein lecha chil vavecha v'chol atzascha yimalei Nirana b'yeshua secha u'v'shem Eloheinu nidgo Yimalei Adonai kol mish'alo secha Ata yodati ki oshia Adonai mishicho Ya'aneyu mishmei kodsho B'gvuros yesha yimino Eilev orechev ve'eilev asusim Va'anachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir Heima karu v'nafalu V'anachnu kamnu v'nisodad Adonai Hoshia HaMelech Ya'aneinu v'yom kareinu. We'll continue with chapter Chaf Zayin, chapter 27 here in Tehillim. L'David Adonai ori v'yishi mimi ira Adonai ma'oz chayai mimi efchad b'krov alai mireim lechol es besari tzarai v'oivai li heima chashlu v'nafalu im tachane lai machane lo yira libi im takum alai milchama Zos anivoteach. Achas sha'alti me'eis Adonai. Osa avakesh. Shivti b'veis Adonai kol yimei chayai. Lachazos b'noam Adonai ulevaker b'hicholo. Ki etz p'neini b'suko b'yom ra'a. Yastireini. Seser alo, Bitsur Yerom Meini, Zata Yerum Roshi Aloy Vaisivosai, Vezbechav alo, Zivche Srua Ashira, Vazamra Ladonai, Shma Adonai Koliekra, Vichaneini, Vaneini. L'cha amar libi bakshu fanoi es panecha Adonai avakesh al taster panecha mimeni al tat ba'af avdecha ezra sihayisa al ticheni v'al tazveni Elohei yeshi ki avivi miyazavuni V'Adonai yaseini, horeini Adonai darkecha, unacheini b'orach mishor, lema'an shorirai, al titneini b'nefesh tzarai, ki kamu v'edei sheker, v'yaseyach chamas. Lulei hemanti l'ros b'tov Adonai b'eretz chayim. Kavei el Adonai chazak v'yameit libecha v'kavei el Adonai. We close with the chapter 130 of Tehillim. Shir hama'alos mima'amakim krasicha Adonai Adonai shema v'koli tihyena oznecha kashuvos l'kol tachanunai Im avonos tishmor ya Adonai mi Haslicha Leman Tivorei Kivisi Adonai Kivsa Nafshi V'lidvaro Hocholti Nafshi Adonai Mishomrim Laboker Shomrim Laboker Yachel Yisrael El Adonai Ki Im Adonai HaChesed V'harbei Imo Fidus Who Yifteth Yisrael Mikol Avonosav Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael Hanesunim Batzara Batzara Uvashivya Ha'omdim Bein Bayam Uvein Bayabasha Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael Hanesunim Batzara Batzara Uvashivya Ha'omdim Bein Bayam Uvein Bayabasha Hamakom Yerabavachem Yerabavachem Alevavehem V'yotziyem Mitzavavara Liyerbacha Umeyafeila Liyavavara Umishibod Ligula Hashta Bagala uvizman kariv amavakom yiravachem yiravachem aleihem liyotziyem mitzavavara levacha meyafeil aliyavavara umishibod Ligula hashta Bagala Uvizmane Kavavariv. May the Almighty help all of our brethren, members of the Jewish people, in whatever situation they may find themselves, in bondage, in captivity, in difficulty, and take them out from difficulty to success, from exile to redemption, quickly, speedily in our days.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Reifman. As we segue into the next part of our call, how are you, your family, and community doing?
Well, thank you, Rabbi Herman. Baruch Hashem, I would have to say our community is doing well, our family is doing well. The community was in a pretty significant lockdown. Really starting from Shushan Purim, the day after Purim. I personally contracted COVID-19 through teaching Daf Yomi, and I was ill for about 10 weeks with pneumonia.
Wow.
And members of my family as well contracted COVID-19. But thank God we have recovered fully, and in the community as well, even though there were, I would guess, maybe about 20% who got the virus. Thankfully, no one had to be intubated. And fortunately, we did not suffer any losses within the community, although certainly there were members who lost parents who were living outside of the community.
Wow. Chassid Hashem, thank God you and your family and others in the community recovered. So to get us started, for our listeners who may not be as familiar with Englewood, with your community, would it be possible to please share with us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
So Englewood is very close to New York City. We are the first exit after you cross the George Washington Bridge, which is a bridge that takes a person from New York City to New Jersey. We're part of the Bergen County community. Bergen County is a very large, vibrant Jewish community. It encompasses multiple towns: Englewood, Teaneck, Bergenfield, Paramus, Fairlawn, Fort Lee, Englewood Cliffs, other areas as well. The community is very vibrant. In Englewood itself, we have four Orthodox shuls. We have a very large yeshiva day school. There's mikvaos. There are, kosher restaurants. And in Bergen County as a whole, we have multiple yeshivos, elementary schools, high schools, and again, many, many shuls, probably about 40 shuls in the Bergen County area. In our particular shul, East Hill Synagogue, we have about 175 families that are full members and another 100 families that are affiliate members, so roughly a community of about, 250 families. Each family, typically, on average, will have also three children. So thank God it's a large and vibrant community here in Bergen County and in Englewood in particular.
Amazing. Rabbi Reifman, we've been hearing some incredible stories from rabbis across the country during this segment of the call. Specifically COVID-related, something that stood out with the, we've been using the words, with challenge come opportunities. Anything to share with us specific to your community, or alternatively, we've been talking a lot about growth. And is there areas specifically within the community that you've witnessed the growth with your own members of the shul?
I think there are many opportunities for growth during this period, and remarkable inspiration during this period. Something that touched me very deeply is that as a teacher at Yeshiva University, I've been teaching this past year my students about Rav Kook. And one of the things that we've been studying are the writings of Rav Kook. And Rav Kook was a person filled with tremendous love for the Jewish people, tremendous optimism, tremendous hope. And as we know, the little bit of the history of Rav Kook, he came to Israel in 1904. He then left in 1914 to try to raise funds for the community of Israel, got stuck in Europe during World War I, came back in 1919 and was appointed chief rabbi of the British Mandate of Palestine. In 1929, there were terrible riots in Israel, and hundreds of Jews were killed. It was a very devastating period. The Jewish community of Hebron was basically abolished. And Rav Kook wrote a famous letter in the newspapers called Shuvu Lebitzaron. And in that letter, Rav Kook said that on the one hand, people are so devastated by the losses, terrible, terrible tragedies that had hit the community, and people want to give up. But on the other hand, if you look back at the history of the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, every period of great difficulty was actually like the compression of a spring, causing remarkable growth to happen right after that difficulty. So, for example, World War I was a period of terrible difficulty. Thousands of Jews who had Russian passports were expelled by the Turks outside of Israel. Rav Kook himself couldn't even make it back to Israel. His student, Rav Arye Levin, lost children to famine because of the difficulties. And yet, after World War I, there was tremendous growth. After World War I, there was a miracle. The British were now in charge. Tens of thousands of Jews were allowed entry. The community in Israel grew by leaps and bounds. And I think that that was something, that message, that we all knew right when this started, that a period of great stress and difficulty and unknown challenge also means that unbeknownst to us, the spring of the growth of the Jewish people is being compressed, and out of this difficulty will come tremendous strength. Me'az yetzei matok. From the tough will come the sweet. And I think something that, to me, I find great inspiration is that over 60% of the plasma that has antibodies against COVID-19 in the United States has been donated by the Orthodox Jewish community. And I think that's really a remarkable statement. This is a country of 320 million people. And the Orthodox Jewish community is not such a large community. Maybe in New York there are a couple hundred thousand Orthodox Jews, but you go out to the rest of the country, it's not such a large community. And to think that this community has come forward and literally fulfilled the pasuk, "B'damayich chayi," through your blood live, that the survivors and those who've recovered from COVID-19 now have in their blood antibodies that can kill this virus, and they can now give that blood, the plasma from the blood, which can then be given to Americans throughout the country, can be given to Secret Service members and to soldiers to be used as a prophylactic. I think that's a remarkable, remarkable testament of Me'az yetzei matok. From the difficulty will come something sweet, a great, great Kiddush Hashem, and something that all of us can try to think in our own situations. You know, I don't think there'll be any snow days anymore. We'll have Zoom days after this is all over. And I think that's something we can learn from.
You just made a lot of children really disappointed.
Well, I think it'll make a lot of parents and teachers happy to realize that the same way that, you know, learning is a constant, it'll continue to be a constant, God willing. And I think there are a lot of strengths that we can take away from this experience and, God willing, hopefully see really remarkable growth within the Jewish nation out of this compressing time of challenge.
Wow, what an incredible perspective, and please God, in your Hashem, we hope that from the uncertainty and from the unknown and all the challenges that we're going through, that there is a, as you shared in the example from World War One and many parallels throughout Jewish history, that we're going to see some great light and some real bracha and blessings that come in the near future. Just one last question, Rabbi Reisman, where is East Hill Synagogue currently at this moment in terms of the various phases? Are you back in the shul, obviously with masks and social distancing, but where are you at the moment?
So, you know, here in Bergen County, I think we were one of the first communities to shut down entirely. We had a big meeting on Shushan Purim, the day after Purim, with the shuls, the shul presidents, the rabbis, the local hospitals, the doctors, the boards of health, and the schools, and, you know, the guidelines of basically staying home and ordering food in and not going out, and no shul, no school, that was decided by the community really on Shushan Purim, the day after Purim, about a week before the rest of the society went into the same lockdown. And so I think that it was an amazing miracle from heaven that the community made that decision, because it saved many, many lives, and it caused us to suffer far fewer losses than our brethren in other communities who unfortunately didn't realize what was happening and how important it was to distance from each other and to just wait till this plague would pass. Because the community has been so cautious, and we shut down before the government shut everything down, we also waited after the government opened things up on Memorial Day. We did not leave our lockdown for another 2 weeks, and only a week after Shavuos we began with outdoor, socially distanced, masked minyanim. And that went on for 2 weeks. And after that, we've moved back to the campuses of the shuls. Some of the shuls in town are indoors. Our shul personally is outdoors and under a canopy next to the shul. People wear masks, are distant, and we daven outdoors. We've started again our classes. Because I personally have the antibodies, have donated plasma, what was positive, what was negative, all of those experiences, We've gone back to teaching as well. So I teach to the members of the shul, but outdoors and while wearing either a face shield or standing behind a plastic partition. So thank God we have Daf Yomi in person again. We have Minyanim again. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll continue to return to what we were and hopefully more than what we were before we all shut down.
Amen. Rabbi Reichman, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a brief picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all Klal Yisrael and of the entire world. And our thoughts, our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, blessing, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all those in need will be answered with tova, with good. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Monday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Words of Inspiration from Rabbi Yaakov Robinson of Beis Medrash Mekor HaChaim in Chicago, Illinois. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.